30 years ago today, on May 3rd, 1971, this radio program was born. It was a child of its times. We are marking our 30th year in many ways, but today we're taking time out from the usual routines to consider what it means to be a child of those times. Of course, we have a lot of company.
My name is Beatrice Chow. I was born on February 10th, 1971.
Oh, and I'm Robert Schneider, and I was born on March 9th, 1971.
Jay Wells, and I was born December 29th, 1970.
July 23rd, 1970.
August 17th, 1971.
1971.
1971.
1971. In this part of All Things Considered, our fellow 30-year-olds speak about the experiences that have shaped them. We'll hear from people in various walks of life, from various backgrounds, who have one big thing in common, their age. Which means they had at least this smaller thing in common. When they were toddlers, nearly all of them toddled to the same video accompaniment, a novel public TV show for preschoolers that was educational, fast-paced, and fun. When today's 30-year-olds were born, they really weren't such sunny days. Americans were at war in Indochina and deeply divided over it. In those days, people spoke of culture and counterculture. And for 30 years, the first faithful audience of Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch have been synthesizing it all, reconciling the mixed hand the world of their parents dealt them. For their troubles, they were barely in college when they were branded Generation X. It didn't sit well with artist Abby Franson Sheehan, who was born in 1970.
I feel like there have been a lot of labels. The generation before us is the baby boomers. The generation after us, they know all the technology in the world. Whereas we were the Generation X, and I've always felt like it's a little incorrect.
And as Mark Phelan, a graduate student of public health, points out, the lives of 30-year-olds have not been filled with great national struggles, no world war, no Great Depression.
So I think it's filled with smaller things, television, computers, pop culture things that have defined who we are.
Mark Phelan and Abby Franson Sheehan both live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where we went in search of 30-year-olds. We also interviewed a few of their contemporaries in Denver, New York City, Boston, and Atlanta. But most of the people you'll hear in this part of the program are in Pittsburgh. First, a visit to a company there called Body Media, and a talk with its 30-year-old CEO.
My name is Astro Teller. I was actually born in Cambridge, England, May 29th, 1970.
And actually born with the name Eric Teller. Everyone calls him Astro, not for his scientific curiosity and not for his link to the physicist Edward Teller, his grandfather. He got the nickname, he says, because of his hair.
I had very, very short hair on the top of my head and almost no hair on the sides or back of my head when I was a kid. And I was a little soccer jock when I was a kid. And so the kids in the team nicknamed me Astro because it looked like I had a little patch of AstroTurf on the top of my head.
This is a tough image to conjure if you meet Astro Teller at 30. The AstroTurf buzz cut has grown into a mane of brown hair that falls well below his shoulders. Astro Teller has published a novel. He has earned a PhD in artificial intelligence. As for his contemporaries, he says they have a couple of important things in common.
The thing that unifies 30-year-olds in this country more than anything else is the attitudes of their parents. I think a lot of people my age were raised by people who in one of three or four very classic ways were really very different than the generation before them or the generation now. More activist in mind, interested in being marginal in a number of different ways. I know that's how my family was. I think the 30-year-olds of today have also certainly been influenced by, you figure they were in college during the last economic downturn, so they didn't really notice it. And so it's been an economic boom for the last 8 years or so, and I think that has deeply impacted the people who are 30. I'm not just talking about the dot-com boom and now bust, but the much more general and pervasive sense that you can pretty much get a job doing anything you want, that people will, you know, get on their knees and beg you to take the job because there's just more jobs than there are people and that sort of thing.
The idea of young people who are willing to be marginal, perhaps like their parents, recalls the charge that this generation is apathetic. According to Teller, they are not apathetic, but they may be disillusioned.
That might sound like it's mincing words, but if you're disillusioned which is to say, look, the fight is either fixed or pointless. In either case, why should I show up? That doesn't sound like such an indictment to me.
In fact, Astro Teller was one of the rare 30-year-olds we met who says he actually grew up with heroes. One of them, his grandfather, was even a real person.
Others included Doctor Who, Hawkeye from MASH, just to use him as an example. That idea that you could be irresponsible and iconoclast in a variety of ways, but by being so valuable to the group that you were a part of, that they would cut you a certain amount of leeway. That very much appealed to me since I was irresponsible in a variety of ways when I was younger. Maybe still am.
His company, Body Media, sells technology that was science fiction when Astro Teller was a kid.
What are you holding here?
I'm holding the wearable body monitor that I've been wearing. This is much like a sort of oversized watch or a very small version of something you might wear on your upper arm to listen to an MP3 player.
And what it does is monitor your body and transmit its readings to Body Media, where you can log into your personal page online and track your progress to well-being.
Things like, how many calories are you burning every day? What's your stress been like over the last couple of months? Or how do you sleep at night? If we could give you a dashboard for your body, I believe you would act differently.
So you type in your username and password.
Astro Teller and Body Media make a smooth blend of technological innovation, a belief in the importance of good health and in personal empowerment to achieve it, and some very enthusiastic salesmanship.
So the next piece of the building that we built out was this.
The home for this enterprise is a suite of non-offices overlooking the Monongahela River, a place where the heating vents are suspended cylinders of blue fabric and blue and white Christmas tree ornaments dangle from ceilings, where form and function meet fun.
We're in a room right now where you see that all of the walls are either whiteboards or pinup space. We believe if you hide the ideas, you forget the ideas. If you get them up on the wall, you remember them.
Any wall here could have an idea stuck on it or written on it.
Absolutely. We use a lot of glass because it's not just moving the natural light around, it's also to remind people that the space is, as much as possible, is not divorced from the rest of the space. And this has to be a fun place to be. If you want to know one of the characteristics of 30-year-olds going to work, it's not about the salary. They're not worried that they're going to starve, and they're not particularly worried even that they're going to be able to retire. They just want to be fulfilled in their jobs. If the space is set up as cubicles, I mean, cubicles were a bad idea before Dilbert, and they certainly didn't get any better afterwards.